In life, we make choices. There are big decisions that we make that have far-reaching consequences and repercussions for the future. The choice of a life partner, the choice of a career, the choice for the location of a home, the course of one's study. These are some examples of some of the major decisions that we have to make in life. But I believe the greatest decision that one can make is the choice pertaining to one's faith. For me, the greatest decision that I ever made was to become a Christian. It changed my entire life's direction and life's goals. More than that, the decision to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior made the difference between heaven and hell. And since becoming a Christian, I understood that God has given to me His Word, the Bible, to guide me in making choices in life. And we have the freedom, a free will, to make our choices. And we are responsible for what we choose. God said to Israel before they entered the promised land in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, the Lord said, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." What was the choice that God's counsel is to be hearkened by His children? Well, the next verse tells us, "That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey His voice, that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." So this was the command of God to Israel before they entered the promised land, and after they had subdued the land and became landowners. Again, through Joshua, God reminded the people to keep their faith with the living and true God. And Joshua led by his example to make a choice of consecration before his people. He said in Joshua 22, verses 14 and 15, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So that generation that entered the promised land were filled with faith, filled with love for their God. But after Joshua's death, the Bible tells us in Judges chapter 2 verse 10 that there was a turning away from the faith in Israel amongst the new generation. And Judges 2:10 tells us this. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, after Joshua, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel." This concluding verse in the book of Judges sets for us the background for this book of Ruth and gave to us a sobering picture concerning Israel's spiritual slumber. Judges 21 verse 25 was the last verse in that book. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So you recall, we began our story last week with a famine in Israel, and how one family, husband and wife, and two sons, made a faithless decision, not trusting God to be able to provide for them in the land of his choice for them, but they uprooted themselves to go to the land of Moab, because there was bread in Moab. And there the two sons married Moabite wives. And within 10 years, the three men of the house died, leaving behind three widows: Naomi with her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. This was where we left our story last Wednesday, in verse 6, where we saw how God again prospered Israel, those who remained behind in Israel during those days of the famine, now experience God's good hand in supplying bread for them. And so Ruth, Naomi, saw, and that was where we left off. She said to her two daughters-in-law, I'm going to return to Israel. Verse 6 says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Naomi decided that she would return to the land of her faith in Israel. Having wandered away from God, she decided to go back to Israel to be with God's people. And the psalmist David expressed well the joy and peace of life with God, living at the center of God's will, when he wrote in Psalm 63, verse 1 to 7. David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah, he wrote this, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate upon thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. And verse 8 of Psalm 63, David wrote this. He says, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. He said that I cleave to my God. This was the word that was used here, the verb follow hard. What is the motivation that gave him the strength to cling and cleave to God? Well, David experienced the loving kindness of God in his life, that God loves and cares for him. He had that relationship with God. He experienced the presence of God working in his life, helping him, and he was able to count many past faithfulness of God. That's why he says, I will continue to follow this God, to praise and to bless him while I live. He had a precious relationship with God that is so precious and so valuable that he cling on to his God for his life. And this is the same word that was used in verse 14 of our text to describe how Ruth refused the mother-in-law's words to remain behind in Moab. She said that she would go, she would uproot herself to return or to go to Israel. And this is the word that is described there. The word here in verse 14. And here you see a description of women of faith. Here is described for us the words that Ruth used to demonstrate that she had a relationship with the living and true God of Israel. She said she would cleave to her mother-in-law. She would follow the mother-in-law's God. Three thoughts. Faithless counsel from verse 7 to 13. Faithless choice, verse 14. And faith's choice, verse 15 to 18. The decision of Naomi's late husband Ahimelech to go to Moab was not a godly choice. It was not a spiritual decision, but a physical decision. You see, when the famine struck Israel, they saw that there was bread in Israel, in Moab, and therefore they decided to go to Moab. It was an expedient choice, right? They were not seeking to trust God to provide for them in the land which God has appointed for them to dwell. You remember we said that when Israel entered the land, God allotted to each tribe and each family a piece of real estate. And this is to be passed down from one generation to another. And they are to trust God to take care of them in their land. And so what happened 10 years ago when famine struck? They decided to follow, well, where bread is. Well, it was a physical, material choice, not a spiritual decision. They were living not by faith, but by sight. They were not seeking the will of God, seeking the kingdom of God, the purpose of God for Israel to be his witness in the land. You see, even if God would give a famine, can God not provide for them? Well, they were in the wilderness, as we said last week. And how God was able to provide for them, right? Manna, daily, for 40 years. How is it that, you know, now that they have entered the land and they have planted vineyards, and God has planted, you know, prospered them, that now they have forgotten, clean forgotten, you know, the capability and how God would not leave them, right, without subsistence, without means. And yet you see this family moving. Well, faith is to believe God and to obey God and do his will in spite and despite circumstances. When the family of Ahimelech left Israel for Moab, they left the covenant blessings of Israel and they went over to this ungodly pagan territory. And what happened? Well, as we saw, there was death, there was desolation, there was disappointment. All the three men in the family died. Remember the Lord said, we mentioned last week from the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord said, I will send you a curse. And indeed, they understood that it was a decision that does not bring blessing from God. And so, from that carnal decision to stay, now you see they saw that, hey, there's bread in Israel. She decided that she would now go back to Israel. You know, just like the prodigal son, as we said last week, who she saw that there was bread in Israel, and if she were to go back, well, she would be filled. And so you can see that she made a right decision to return to Bethlehem. But it was a wrong motivation. He went back to Israel not because she wanted to come back to Israel's God, but she saw that Israel is now, you know, God has blessed Israel. And so it was a physical decision. And it's interesting that both daughters-in-law decided to return with her. But what happened? You see that she actually stopped them, verse 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. She gave commands to Orpah and Ruth to return to their people, to their gods. And watch the words here. It says, the Lord deal kindly with you. And verse 9, she said, the Lord grant you that ye may find rest. How could they find rest in the house of idolatry? You see that her spiritual life is all muddled up. How could they find blessing and rest following after the Moabite gods? In effect, she's saying, as the prophet Malachi would say to the backsliding Israel about 700 years later, in Malachi 3 verse 14, ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? It was useless and purposeless for them to follow Israel's God. God cannot help you. And so, but you see the response of the two daughters-in-law. And they said unto her, surely we will return unto thy people. And look at the insistence of Naomi in verse 11. Turn again, she said to her daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be for your husbands? Turn again. You see, again and again she's stopping them. Go your way, I'm too old. You see, they had now developed a very close relationship with each other. And the daughters-in-law couldn't bear to leave their mother-in-law, right, an old woman in the lurch, as it were. And so they volunteered to go with her to Israel. But the counsel of this supposedly elderly woman was just faithless, and she justified her faithless counsel by pronouncing God's blessing. How could God bless them to go and follow after other gods? Well, you can see that she's perhaps thinking, could it be for her own interest, that if she would return to Israel with two Moabite women, then she would be exposed. She would not go in well with the people, bringing two Moabite women with her as the widows of her two departed sons, right? That they have broken the law of God to marry this Moabite woman. Well, you see that this lady, well, she had a lot of bitterness in her heart. She said, "For it grieved me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." And so she said that, you know, if you follow me, the curse of God will also be upon you. And she behaved like truly someone who has backslided in their faith. She blamed God for her situation instead of repenting for her disobedience. She was so backslidden that she told her mother, the daughters-in-law, to go back to her people in Moab. And so, with this deterrent that came and this counsel that came from their mother-in-law, you see, a choice had to be made for the two daughters-in-law. And verse 14 and verse 15 to 18 show to us the choices that Orpah and Ruth made, contrasting. Verse 14 tells us that Orpah hearkened to her mother-in-law. She kissed her mother-in-law. Although she was reluctant, nevertheless, she left for her home in Moab. But you see a different response in Ruth. She claved unto her. And this is the same word that was used, that was described in Psalm 63, verse 8, to describe how David followed hard after Israel's God, because he knew and understood the loving kindness of God. He says that, you know, "My soul shall be satisfied as marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." So there was something that took place in the heart of Ruth in her time spent with this family. She has understood who this God is, this God of Israel. Although the mother-in-law and the father-in-law and the sons were all weak in faith, and yet you see she was able to see and she was able to understand the faith. And look at her response in verse 16. "Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be mine people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and I there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." So you see, when Naomi time and again said to Ruth to leave her God, she first articulated her love for Naomi, and then she showed her conviction in Israel's God. You know, just like, very much like the lady Rahab or Rahab. Remember when Israel was about to conquer Jericho, there was this lady by the name of Rahab. She had not seen Israel's God, but she has heard about the workings of the God of Israel, how he brought them out of Egypt and all the miracles that has been You know, and she had faith in the God of Israel. And may I say that this faith that we have comes from God. God gives to us that faith. God placed in Ruth an understanding of the worth of her God. God opened her heart to see and take hold of God. I remember that for me it was the same. When someone came and said that Jesus Christ is the living and true God, for the first time in my life, I understood that this is the God who made me. I cannot explain and describe to you how it happened, but God simply worked something, a faith in the heart, to take hold of him. And from that day onwards, there was no turning back. The faith simply grew as God brings people to share concerning the faith. It's very interesting. I got to know my wife, who is a believer, my roommate in the hall, who are believers, and the lecturer was also a believer. And during those times, you know, you just cannot understand how God brings people into your presence. Whereas just a year before, I was totally pagan. You know, I cannot understand how there was that turn around. But God put faith in my heart. And I believe that God put faith in the heart of this Moabitess. She was living a totally pagan, idolatrous environment, but she had that first encounter with God, albeit it was so weak, but she was able to see the worth of it. She was able to see the strength, the blessing, and she made a choice. She made a choice of faith to follow Israel's God. And the Bible says that she was steadfast minded. She was strong and courageous and bold to take hold of the living and true God. You see here a bright light in a little corner amidst all the darkness that was over Israel and the land at that time. We see this light in the life of this Moabitess woman, Ruth, shining out in the darkness. You know, in total darkness, if you have just a little light, you know, that little light will be so penetrating and would be able to be clearly seen. And the Lord wants us also, you know, living in these last days, to be also a man and a woman of faith, to having seen the living and true God, our Lord Jesus Christ, to take hold of him. You know, we have been studying, spending so much time studying about the Messiah of Israel. The Bible has recorded so much for us. This is the true Christ. This is the Savior. If we take hold of him, we will have life, life everlasting, abundant life. And the Lord wants us to take hold of this Christ. You know, the world today is groping in great darkness. And yet God is so good, out of the darkness, to bring us into contact with men and women of faith, so that we may have that opportunity to come to know the living and true God. May we cherish this blessing that we have to be with God's people. We may be a small group. Nevertheless, if you have God with us, you know, we realize that we have all that we need. And Ruth understood this. It is not where she would go, but who is the one who is taking care of her. She came to trust in Israel's God. And this is the God that, the living and true God, whom God will, whom if we know, will give to us great blessing. May we make a choice of faith each time to walk with Him. May our decisions, the choices that we have to be made, be made in the light of His Word, that we may live and abide in God's blessing. Faithless counsel, verses 7 to 13. Faithless choice and faith's choice. Are you faced with some decisions that you have to make for your life? May the Lord give you faith to make choices that is pleasing to Him, that you may receive His eternal blessing. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for bringing us once again to Thy house to pray and to observe and learn the lesson of faith in this woman who is a Gentile, totally unworthy in the sight of God, in the sight of His people, and yet Thou hast given her faith. O Lord, Thou art a good God. Thou would not despise our background, who we are, but Thou wouldst receive all who would come to Thee in faith. O Lord, we pray and ask that Thou would help us as a witness, as a body of Thy believers, to be that light to shine forth in this neighborhood, so that the people around may understand and see that there is a living and true God in Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that they too may come to learn of the eternal blessings of life with Thy Son. O Lord, may Thou help us to bear forth a good witness for Thee, to trust Thee, and to serve Thee despite adversities, circumstances. For we know, Lord, that Thou would surely glorify Thy own name. And so, Lord, help us to cling on to Thee, to cleave to Thee with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we may receive Thy eternal blessings now and forevermore. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.